I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. In football, everybody's wondering about how long will this magic carpet ride last for Tom Brady. That he's already done it to this point. He's won another Super Bowl. He's already 43 years old. Who's to say he can't keep doing this for many years? And if he's blown our expectations out of the water in terms of age and what you can do at 40 or 41 or 42 or 43, what about until 46 or 47 or 48? And Jason Light, who is the Buccaneers GM, has been very clear, and Bruce Arians as well, that they're in no rush to find a replacement. They're in no rush to rush him out. That as long as Tom Brady wants to be there and playing, that he is welcome to be there and playing. Now, that's a little easier said than done after he ends up being a Super Bowl MVP. It's a little easier said than done when he is still winning big games for you and holding the Vince Lombardi trophy aloft. It's a little harder, obviously, when he does show signs of wearing down to the playoffs, or had they lost, or had he thrown a terrible pick six, kind of the way that the Patriots season ended when his had his last season there and they lost to the Titans in the playoffs. But Jason Light said if he wants to play until he's 50 and he feels like he can still play, he's welcome to do it. Now, Tom Brady told USA Today, 50? Well, that's a long time, even for me. That's a really long time. And I think 45 sounds like it's far more realistic to believe that Brady's going to try to achieve 45. And then once he does that, it would be time to have kind of set that record of longevity into a different stratosphere, and that he can comfortably kind of move on, I suppose, if there's ever a comfort of Brady. But Brady said, quote, "I've always said that 45 was the age that I wanted to reach, and that was my goal. This year I'll be 44, next season 45. So essentially I look at it like a two-year contract. I'm going to be able to obviously play this year, and God forbid anything happens, play next year, and then see what happens after that. If I want to still keep playing, I might be able to do that. If that's enough, then that would be enough." So this is the first time that Brady has kind of acknowledged that there is an end to this. And, you know, at 35 now, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, he had proclaimed 45 as something that he would want to achieve, and we all scoffed at it. And I think that that might have been actually the mile marker, the finish line that he wanted to get to all along, and that beyond that wasn't actually all that interesting to him. Now, who knows? You know, you win a Super Bowl at 45, and perhaps you actually feel like, you know what, let me try 46. But at 35, he said 45 was his goal, or a potential goal. And at 43, he's talking about 45 being his goal. So I think that actually is the finish line. It doesn't sound like much has changed from Brady's standpoint over these 8 years, despite him obviously still being really good. And maybe Brady knows, even with my ability, my health regimen, my youth, you know, my youthful vigor that I try to infuse upon my body or press upon my body, even me at 45 or 46, there is an end date here. And I don't want to get to a point where I'm bad, I'm decrepit, I'm old, I'm slow, what have you. So it sounds like 2 years is the reasonable end for Brady. And more power to him. What he proved last year was historic. Perhaps other quarterbacks are going to follow this lead. Perhaps other quarterbacks are going to try to push to 41 and 42. But more than likely, in my mind, this is just a Brady thing. That, yes, health is much better than ever before. Wellness, the money that you can spend on your body. Look at LeBron James. LeBron has kind of broke it open how many miles you can have on your odometer and still perform at an elite level. Brady's doing the same thing. Drew Brees was doing it at 40, 41 years old last year. We're seeing this more and more, and it'll continue, in my estimation, because of where science is, the money you can invest in your body, etc. Taking care of your body at an earlier age because you understand what it takes. But Brady playing at 43 at this level, 44 at this level, etc., I don't think should ever be expected. I think that he might just be an island unto himself, and that 45 is going to be that island, and then he's going to say, okay, I'm good. Brady also is going to appear in an episode of The Shop. And this is the HBO series, the barbershop series, where athletes sit around and they hang out with one another and kind of shoot the bleep. And you kind of get some pretty honest, raw assessments. And in a preview for Friday's episode of The Shop on HBO Max, Brady, in a very brief clip, is talking about last year, last summer, talking to teams, or last spring before he signed with the Buccaneers. And Brady, in the clip, is kind of laughing. He's in a barbershop chair, which is kind of hysterical into itself, because how many barbers has Brady ever been to? Brady definitely goes to some type of incredible European salon where they clip every hair with some type of scientific, you know, steel that was harvested from this steel mine in like on the shores of Croatia or something. You know, he does not sit in a barber shop. That's not what Tom Brady does. So this is pretty hysterical. But Brady says, one of the teams I was talking to, they weren't interested at the very end. And I was thinking, you're going to stick with that mother bleeper? And that everybody in the place laughs. And he's talking about the quarterback that they decided to stick with. And this is kind of interesting because it has led people to speculate, oh, what team was he talking about? Now, here are the possibilities. So who do you think Brady was talking about when he said, wow, you're going to stick with that mother bleeper? He talked to the Chicago Bears. And so the Bears stuck with Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles. He spoke with the Raiders. The Raiders stuck with Derek Carr. He spoke with the Chargers. Remember, they ended up going with Justin Herbert. He spoke with the Titans. They stuck with Ryan Tannehill. And a lot of people believe that he was talking about the 49ers, because the 49ers had conversations with him. They were coming off the Super Bowl loss, and they stuck with Jimmy Garoppolo. So you can make your your guess here. Feel free to tweet at me if you'd like. Your guess, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. A lot of people assume that it was Garoppolo. I don't think it is. I don't think a guy that backed up Brady for that many years and has always been very deferential towards Brady, I don't think Brady would have considered him a mother bleeper. I think that Brady has a certain amount of respect for Garoppolo. Not that he didn't want to go to San Francisco, but this is kind of a dismissive, you're going to stick with that guy, that chump. And I think Brady has more respect for Garoppolo than that. And I know that Brady was trying to stave him off and Heisman him, but I think there was a mutual respect there. So I don't think he was talking about Garoppolo. I also don't think he got far enough down the road with the Bears to what he was suggesting. Like, it was at the end of the conversation, and he said at the end, and at the end, I was thinking, you're going to stick with that guy? At the very end, he said. He wasn't with the Bears until the very end. So I don't think, even though it would make sense if he said that about Trubisky and Foles, I don't think it was that. Maybe it was Tannehill. Maybe. Because he did seem to get pretty far with the Titans, and there was the Vrabel connection. But I also don't think it was the Titans either. And I'll tell you why. The Titans had just beaten the Patriots that postseason and had reached the AFC Championship game. And Tannehill had a wonderful season. And you couldn't separate the Titans' success from Tannehill's success. I think they were absolutely tied. So I don't think Brady would look at a guy that was a step away from the Super Bowl and say, that guy's a chump. You're going to stick with that mother bleeper? I don't think so. You could convince me it was the Raiders because of Derek Carr, okay? But I actually don't think it was the Raiders. I think he's talking about the Chargers, who were in it until the very end. They were in the Brady sweepstakes until the very end. And at the very end, they pulled the plug on it. And it seemed like going back to California, opening up that glitzy new stadium, Brady going to Los Angeles, it felt like he wanted to be there. And the Chargers obviously didn't go with him, didn't roll with Brady. But they didn't bet on Justin Herbert instead of Tom Brady. I mean, in some ways they did, obviously. But remember, they began the season with Tyrod Taylor. And they could not have known Herbert was going to take over week two because Taylor was the starter in week number one before he had his lungs punctured by the team doctor with that pain med. I think Brady's talking about Tyrod Taylor there. I think the Chargers said, hey, we've got Herbert waiting in the wings, but we're going to start with Tyrod Taylor. And Brady might have been like, yeah, well, I can be your starter instead of Tyrod Taylor. You're going to stick with that guy? To me, that might be the guy that Brady was talking about there. He's not going to dismiss Justin Herbert because Herbert's a top 10 pick. And we didn't know how good Herbert could be, but we didn't know that he was going to be bad either at that point. He was an unknown. But he was an unknown to the Chargers also. It was, to me, Brady wanting to go to the Chargers, the Chargers saying, well, we're going to stick with Tyrod Taylor as our starter for now. And him going, you're going to stick with that guy? Okay. Ended up working out great for the Chargers because they have a superstar in their hands in Herbert. But I think that makes more sense than him taking a swipe at Jimmy Garoppolo or Ryan Tannehill. This has been quite the parlor game over the last 24 hours trying to figure out who Brady was talking about. AB, what's your gut instinct on this? Who was the team that was sticking with the mother bleeper?
So the first thing I heard about this was Scott Zolak saying it was Tannehill. So that kind of negated my gut reaction to it. I didn't really go into any deep dive and break down and connect dots. I just saw Zolak say bingo on Twitter to somebody suggesting it was Tannehill. And I want to trust him here because he's Scott Zolak. He's plugged in. He and Brady were on the same team right at one point. I mean, at the very least, there's a deep connection. So I want to trust that Zolak is right here. And it makes the most sense when I think about it now after the fact, because I don't think, now, I think when Brady uses that word, he's not using it in like the meanest sense of it. But I still think he would not call Jimmy G that in conversation.
Right. He's being somewhat dismissive of the quarterback that they chose over him.
Yeah, but it's like, it's just more about like, he's not me, as opposed to like, that guy sucks.
Right.
So like Tannehill, I think, is fair game to be called that in Tom Brady's mind. Cause I don't even know that he would be that, like, I don't know if Tyrod Taylor makes sense in this regard, if the timeline lines up all the way correctly, because I didn't even think about Tyrod Taylor. You're the first person that had sent me in that direction. So I Tannehill makes sense to me to be like, I'm better than him. Why would you stick with him when maybe I could go there and be better for you?
Maybe. I would say that the Titans might be number two on my list because, yeah, Brady, I'm sure, thinks that he's an upgrade over Ryan Tannehill. And Zolak has been the longtime color analyst for the New England Patriots, so he's been around, you know, the Brady camp for a long, long time. I just find it a little hard to believe that Brady would be dismissive in any way of a guy that reached the AFC title game and had beaten him. I mean, I think he's pretty deferential to people that beat him in those big games. Like, I think the fact that he didn't shake Nick Foles' hand last year might have been because he got beat in the Super Bowl. But I don't think that's because he thinks that Nick Foles is a chump. I think that he holds on to those things because he feels like he's that great. And if you beat him, you know, that he's got a bone to pick with you in just in terms of competition, but not because he's going to dismiss you, because he doesn't want to think that he loses to chumps. He doesn't want to think that he loses to garbage quarterbacks. I'm sure he wants to think that you can only beat him if you have a great day and you're a worthy opponent. So I got a tough time believing that he'd be that dismissive of a guy that beat him in the playoffs. Now, granted, Tannehill wasn't great that day, but he did go to Foxborough and win, and he did reach an AFC title game and went on the road to beat a number one seed as well. So it'd be a little hard to believe that a couple of months after Daniel tweets, I know that would be my reaction if the Bears decided to stick with Trubisky. Joe tweets, I think it's the Bears too. He's still upset about losing a Super Bowl to Nick Foles. He wished Jimmy good luck before the Super Bowl. And maybe, I don't know how far he got down the road with the Bears though. That's why he said at the very end, it makes me wonder about that. I mean, were the Bears really in the sweepstakes of Tom Brady legitimately and said no? That would be hard to believe. When we come back here on the show, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good value, big upside.
The last time you and I got together for a meal, I thought you were bringing your camera, like I told you, and we would, you know, do your little... video thing that you do, but, you know, I wasn't good enough for that.
That sounds so dismissive.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
How dare you, Jared Greenberg? How dare you? That little thing. That's called Nomad. And that's my digital travel series available on YouTube. 80 episodes are in the book. Check them out. And a brand new one coming shortly after my visit to Charleston last week. And South Carolina, Hilton Head, etc. It was beautiful. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Take a look at the one who got it done this week. How about Kyle Schwarber of the Nationals? Blasting 5 home runs in 3 games against the Mets this past weekend. Don't look now, but the Nats have won 7 of their last 8 as they begin a series in Philly tonight. The Player of the Week sponsored by Granger. For all of the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support and access to product experts. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. 1 week from today, I'll be doing a very special alumni reunion episode at my old stomping grounds in Kansas City, which I'm super excited about. So if you're a old school Kansas City DA show listener between the years 03 and 08, at the infancy of this absurdity, we're going to be doing a reunion show. The station asked me if I'd like to do that one time this summer as a fill-in guest host, and I said, absolutely, that'd be awesome. So we're dusting off all the old ridiculousness coming up here 1 week from today. I'll still be doing my morning show, this show, throughout next week, but I'll be doing a Tuesday afternoon show from 610 Sports Radio in KC, and then also my morning show from KC for a couple of days as well. So that should be awesome. I'm looking forward to stuffing my maw full of ribs and Kansas City barbecue and just being basically a total slob next week. So very, very much excited about this. Very. I'm going to end up having burnt ends kind of like and sauce just hanging from my chin all week long. So that's going to be on Tuesday. And if you don't catch that, because that'll be local in Kansas City, you can always stream it, obviously, as well. And I'll tweet out all the links for that. But we'll have that in podcast form on the Normal DA Show podcast feed if you want to have a little look through the looking glass at the old school DA Show. And then also, you can check it out. We'll have it on YouTube as well. Patrick tweets, I'm trashing Mraz for yesterday's show. All show he had to let us all know how bad he was feeling and that it was his flu game. He's working from home and probably didn't even change what he wore to bed. If the situation was anybody else, he'd say the same thing. Hashtag get him out.
So frustrating.
Not my face!
You know, I only joined for an hour yesterday to talk about the basketball games from over the weekend, but even in that short time frame that I was there, Mraz had mentioned a number of times, take it, DA. I'm happy that you're here. I can't talk anyway. I've got the flu. I feel terrible. I'm on a Z-Pack, all of this type of stuff. Pilati, how much did Mraz bellyache yesterday about being sick?
Oh, not much.
I could sense the sarcasm. Bodes, was this like an every segment thing?
Oh, I mean, yes. It was very much, though, like Jordan. I mean, Jordan, that entire game in Utah, was telling us how he didn't feel well. After the game, I didn't feel well. It was typical Sean looking for a pat on the back for every single little tiny thing he did. Although, he's not here today, and yesterday he couldn't be brought to read Canadian Bacon. He wrote it, but I had to read it because he wasn't strong enough to read it. But again, he's so tough because he's here just with all these symptoms of cold, flu, whatever.
Look, at the very end of the day, this is the one thing I can say about Mraz. He's a baby. I'm not saying he wasn't sick yesterday. I guess he was. I mean, he's out today. He's on his Z-Pack, what have you. But nobody milks being hurt, injured, tired, sick, overworked, what have you, more than Mraz. And you know I love Nancy, and you know I love Bob. I love his parents. They're wonderful to me. I loved seeing them when we were up there for Bob's bar day on the Memorial Day chowder dump. But something happened as a child where he needed to be coddled and babied, and clearly he was. And I think that must be the break point about Fartgate and about his art project being ripped, that I guess Nancy and Bob, maybe specifically Nancy, always babied him about everything. You're great at this. You're right about this. You're the most athletic. You're the smartest boy. You're the most handsome boy. I mean, he must have heard this, because then the one time that didn't happen, he was crushed. It ripped apart his life. And that was the art project day. I thought I was going to be Picasso, and then Mom ripped up my art project to write a phone number for the insurance company on. Or I thought I was, you know, the charismatic, funny guy, and that Mom would always protect me and love me, and then she blamed a fart on me in the wedding. And that, you know, ripped apart Mraz's world, that he hid this dirty, evil secret for years upon years upon years. It must be the case, because Nobody, and I don't know if Danielle babies him. I'm not sure. I don't know that dynamic. I don't think she does. She doesn't strike me as the type of person that does. But something somewhere along the line happened to where he, as you just noted, needs a pat on the back and a cookie for everything he does well. And if he doesn't get the recognition, that somebody doesn't acknowledge that he has gone through something, it's like, you know, he'll shrivel up and die. I mean, remember when he slammed his finger in the door of the studio and he spent the first 15 minutes literally, this is not figuratively, crying on the air. I broke my finger. I smashed my finger. It hurt so
the
bad.
The door just totally smashed my fingers. I went to get the DA sign.
The DA sign. I can't imagine for the life of me any scenario where you, Pete, Cap, or myself would cry on the air unless it was the death of a loved one. And even then, there would likely be a snarky commentary about it. I mean, there would have to be some sarcasm. But Mraz is just a blubbering fool about his finger getting caught in a door.
You're the one that went wee-wee-wee. It's already purple. Oh, my God, the back end is purple.
Oh my God.
And I don't want to scream.
Derek Jeter freaking retires and he cries. He cried on the... Ryan Callahan got traded and he cried on the air. Mraz has the flu. Okay. We've all had the flu. He's got some cold, some common cold. Fine. But, like, we all show up and grind through something, but he's got to make everybody know how sick he is, how this he is, how he's tired, he's this. I did this. I worked late. I stayed up late. I was up with Taylor, right? And it's like, not everything gets you a cookie. So I don't know, Bogues, where this began, if it was parental, if it was he felt overlooked by his parents because his sisters were the golden children. I don't know if it's in work or in school or something happened along the way where he just felt like he needed to be acknowledged about every little thing that he feels like he went above and beyond on, even though it's just what people do. Just people just go to work sick sometimes. People just go to work tired sometimes. People just, you know, like if I, when he wears a button down, he wants it noted. Like, hey, DA, I didn't wear a hoodie today. I didn't wear, you know, a Darren Williams mustard stained jersey from 2000 today. Like I worked hard. I'm like, you know, every day during pandemic, I've woken up and done a show from my office. I don't need credit for dressing in a button down. It's just what you do. It's just what you should do. But he's just a baby. He's just a big baby. And of course he's a friend. And of course he's a colleague. And of course he's a dear friend of mine. But you know, I tell him this all the time. You don't need credit for everything, man. Like you don't have to get you don't have to get credit for the flu game. You just show up and you do your job and that's it. It's just called your job.
And it doesn't count if you ask for it. Like, you might want it, you may need it, you may be looking for it, but when you go, give me my cookie, here's what I just did, it no longer counts because now that cookie isn't genuine. And there's got to be somebody listening who's qualified to at least half diagnose this. I'm with you. I don't know if this means that he never got recognition growing up, and that's why he has to ask for it, or because he always did, he misses it the second it's not immediate, and that's why he asks me or you or the audience or Pete for it. But there is definitely deep-seated issues here, and certainly connected to the fact that he spent, what, the first 27, 28, 30 years of his life basically living at home. I mean, he never left, didn't go away to college. I mean, again, another thing that could have been different had he got into Duke. Had he spent 4 years down in Durham fending for himself, he'd be a completely different person now. But he didn't leave his block until like 7 minutes ago when everything was done for him. So of course he needs a baby. Of course he's a baby and needs help with everything.
Ho, ho, ho. Blow!
Giant. Maybe Danielle does do everything for him. Actually, I take that back. She does all of the paperwork, all of the billing. I know this because she has told me this on the air before, on the air or off the air, I forget. But she handles all of the finances in the house. Mraz has no idea what's going on. She just handles everything. And so, you know, they're doing this whole home renovation. She organized it all. She got the rate, the loan rate that they wanted. She did all the studying for it. She did all the research for it. So I think that Mraz is just, either it's been his mom, his dad, his parents, his teachers, his wife, what have you, that's just like, okay, we'll handle this. We got it. You can't do it. And so anytime he's put out any little bit of effort or energy, it's like, hey, I want to be recognized for this. I mean, remember, he had a college professor that told him, you should cheat on this final exam because you're never going to pass this. So I'm going to look the other way. Have somebody take this for you. And it was an online final, and he had his sister take it. I mean, even his teachers by the end of his college career were like, you know, we're gonna softly nudge you like a baby chick to the finish line.
Now,
I have
I
a
guess
big
in his
wiener in my hand.
In his defense, I will say that my wife does 90% of our things in this house. I mean, she did our taxes this year. She physically sends the money in for the mortgage, but I handle my own things. I pay for myself. You know, all the things that are mine, I pay for. My checks come to me. It sounds like you're saying that, like, Danielle takes everything off of Sean's hands, which is a whole other level of parenting, so
pretty
to speak.
Much. Yes, pretty much. That's pretty much exactly what it is.
If I eat my own dog's poop, I know where he's been.
Yeah. That sums it up pretty well. And by the way, before we leave this conversation, what he also did yesterday when he was not patting himself on the back was everything but saying, we're back, about the Yankees. We did a segment on, if you turn three triple plays in a season, can that season not be magical? So he has begun the safety checks on the bandwagon. I'm paraphrasing here. He has begun prepping the bandwagon for another run. And as I predicted, less than a week after what would for any other human being be rock bottom, basically, on national radio, strangers seeing the video of him in a pig nose, oinking, eating bacon out of pudding, for being a Piggy Yankee fan, he was a Piggy Yankee fan again yesterday because they turned a triple play to win a game. So he has once again learned a single lesson.
Awful. Absolutely, absolutely awful. Lonnie tweets, happy Trash Tuesday. I'm trashing people who put the phone in their bodies. Hashtag smelly trash. Hashtag please don't call me. Hashtag best show ever. Trash them.
So frustrating.
I imagine you're talking about when you stick it in like your underwear bank. You got no pockets on your shorts, or you're wearing swimsuit and it's wet, or you're wearing a tank top and you stick it in your bra or something like that. Because we've talked about that recently, and it's a disaster.
This is disgusting.
Michael tweets, I'm trashing you guys for complaining about straws and not just drinking out of a cup like an adult. I stopped using straws when I was 7. That's a totally fair trash, Michael. Trash us.
Stinky debris.
Completely fair.
But there are some things that have to be drank with a straw. Like, I'm having a smoothie this morning. You got to have a straw for a smoothie. A milkshake requires a smoothie. I'm not drinking my soda, my Jack and Coke, or my beer through a straw. But iced coffee, I think, comes close to requiring a straw. So those things
were inside a cup and you had like a straw put in it, or I don't know, just of course it rarely comes this way. But if you've ever tried it, it's like, oh, my God, get this swill away from me. As soon as you take off the top and take the straw out and you sip the beer, you're like, oh, this is delicious. I don't know what it is, but beer through a straw has got to be one of the most toxic tastes of all time.
Yeah, Manny, you can't have anything else.
What's that?
That'd be straight beer from the can.
Well, I mean, if you attack.
Or the bottle. But no straw.
No. Yeah. No straw. Yeah. Manny from PA tweets, I'm trashing people that take every opportunity to make everything about themselves. Mraz talking about the Sports Minute and continuing to cry about his beloved Nets is absolute garbage. Trash him.
Warning, hazardous material.
It's the CBS Sports Radio.
Disciplines? The CBS Sports Radio. All right, standing by with our headline of this morning is a kind Sir Andrew Bogus, AB. Beat down in hockey last night.
We'll get to that first in a second. But first, an historic and important day for sports. Yesterday, it was already discussed this morning, Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib came out, becoming the first openly gay NFL player. Michael Sam, as DA said earlier this morning, never played in a regular season NFL game. The 28-year-old Nassib made his announcement on social media. Roger Goodell saying in a statement, the league is proud of Carl for courageously sharing his truth today. And then we have a scary situation elsewhere in the NFL. Vikings rookie defensive tackle Jalen Twyman was shot four times yesterday in D.C., but thankfully somehow suffered only superficial wounds. Will make a full recovery. Twyman was sitting in a car, was one of several victims in the incident. Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard will miss Game 2 of the Western Conference Final tonight in Phoenix. The Clippers may also be missing Marcus Morris, who hurt his right knee, played just 5 minutes after halftime on Sunday afternoon. James Harden and Bam Adebayo are the latest reported commitments to USA Basketball for the Tokyo Olympics, but Steph Curry has apparently decided to stay home. Now we get to that playoff hockey. The Lightning smoked the Islanders 8-0 in Tampa Bay for a 3-2 series lead. Steven Stamkos scored twice. Nikita Kucherov had three assists. The Twins and Reds played the longest game of the baseball season last night in Minneapolis.
And the pitch, a swing and a fly ball. Left center field and deep. Back it goes. Deep it goes and gone. Twins win the game 7-5 on a walk-off 12th inning home run from Miguel Sano.
Corey Provis on Twins Radio. That 7-5 win in 12 took 5 hours and 14 minutes. The Rangers down the A's 8-3 to snap a 6-game slide, and the Astros took care of the O's 10-2 for an 8-game win streak. Arizona snapping its 17-game skid 5-1 over the Brewers. Cleveland a 4-0 win at Wrigley. The Padres 6, the Dodgers 2, and the Braves beat the Mets 1-0 to split their doubleheader. And now we get stunned.
All different disciple lines.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Somewhere, Sting and the Police must be very, very proud. Now, I wouldn't call this a true SOS to the world, but it was a message in a bottle. Back in 2018, a teenager put a note in a Powerade bottle and tossed it in the Atlantic. The note read, "It is Thanksgiving. I am visiting family in Rhode Island. I am from Vermont." If found, email message in a bottle 2018 at gmail.com. The note and the bottle were found recently by a teenager fishing in shallow water off the Portuguese coast.
Whoa.
So this bottle and the note survived at least 2,400 miles at sea, found land, and found a person to pick it up and read the note. And by the way, in Portugal, was able to read in English and know what he was reading, what was going on. Unfortunately, though, emails to messageinabottle2018@gmail.com have not been answered yet. So the Santos family, who found the bottle, began sharing the story on social media, maybe hoping that we could find this person who is a teenager, is from Rhode Island and lives in whatever it is. They want to find this person, but so far they have not tracked him or her down after finding their message in a bottle that's sailed across the Atlantic.
Oh, there's been a connection.
There has been.
There has been a connection, yeah. So this is incredible. So this is an even more incredible part of it. So this kid apparently did this with his parents. Like, this was a whole thing that they did. That's why the message is so bland. And they wrote all these little messages in these bottles and threw them out there. And here's the email address if you want to get back to us. After this Portuguese fisherman found the bottle, of course, it became a little bit of a news story. And this kid was looking at searching online, and like came across a news feed and said, "Hey, didn't we do that?" And now he's like, "That was my message." And now they're connected. And apparently the Portuguese fisherman has family from Boston. And this kid is from Vermont. So they actually have a bond.
Yeah, I knew about the Boston connection. The family lived there before moving to Portugal, but I guess because I had this save from last week, I guess I was reading still in the original version of the story, so I didn't know that we had found the sender. How about that breaking news? I'm stunned to a news.
Yeah, I know. They found the freaking sender because this kid saw this story and was like, didn't we do that? Isn't that us? So now they've actually bonded together, which all of this is impossible to believe. I mean, number one, a bottle was thrown into the ocean from Narragansett, Rhode Island, which ironically is where my in-laws live, and got across the Atlantic to Portugal. Isn't that just amazing? Doesn't that feel impossible? Number two, this was just like a family project. Like, let's go try this and see if anybody emails us. You know, like, most boring thing ever. When's the payoff? 3 years later? You got to convince your kids to go do something that they don't get a payoff maybe ever, but 3 years later? Number three, it's not really eco-friendly. Did you say this was a Powerade bottle?
Correct.
Okay, so great. So these parents are teaching their kids throw plastic bottles into the ocean? At least make it a glass bottle so that if it shatters, it becomes sea glass. But instead, we're just more plastic into the ocean so that 3 years from now, some rando in Portugal can email you? I mean, come on.
Maybe.
A little rude, frankly, a little self-involved. But yeah, the kid saw this. He's now 16 years old, is on social media, sees the story, is like, that's me. That was my bottle. That was my message.
Oh, I'm so proud of you for adding to Stunned to a News live in the moment. We've never had that before. I feel bad that I let you down, but thank God you're here to get the better end of the story.
Well, I saw the story that you sent, and I was like, oh, let me find other stories about this, because I always like getting a little bit more context, because one story will have one thing, like the story that I read didn't have the Powerade bottle detail in it, but the story that I read just was updated, I guess, 3 days ago. Sure enough, freaking found one another. June 18th. Kids like, oh, yeah, that was me. Incredible. All right, when we come back here on the DA Show, speaking of Boston, Brad Stevens speaks for the first time about the trade of Kemba Walker for Al Horford and shed some light on why they did it. And there's a report out there that things were very tenuous between Brad and Kemba. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's going to be a good day with DA.
Al, who makes significantly less money, but is, you know, a really good player that has corporate knowledge of this environment, that, you know, is really excited to be back in Boston and is, you know, has a good feel for, you know, not only playing with our guys, but also has made them better. It's a balance that we've been walking, I think, for a while. And I think that what we need to do is, you know, continue to see great growth out of those players and, you know, ultimately decide, you know, who makes our best players better.
That was Brad Stevens yesterday talking about the trade of Kemba Walker to Oklahoma City in return for Al Horford. They also had to send a first-round draft pick this year to OKC, so the Thunder continue to stack their draft picks. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio on a Trash Tuesday. Send us your trashes, won't you, by tweeting at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. We'll continue reading through trashes this morning. There's a couple of things that happened here with Brad Stevens and this trade. Number one, reportedly, Brad Stevens was told that by Gordon Hayward, if he wanted to win, they had to be tougher and he had to be tougher on them. And this has always been a point of contention and criticism of Brad Stevens. Is he too nice? Is he too laid back? Is he too even keeled? Do you need somebody with more fire to get in your grill? Hayward reportedly told him, hey man, you're gonna have to get nastier with people. And with Kemba, apparently he did. And Kemba did not take that well, and that him and Kemba had major friction, and that was a point of dysfunction within the Celtics. And thus, the swap of Kemba did two things for the Celtics. Number one, it obviously swapped in a guy that had a good experience with Brad Stevens, Al Horford, and swapped out a guy that clearly was unhappy. So you hope just from an attitudinal standpoint, Horford's leadership, maturity, etc., helps you. You don't improve from a basketball standpoint, I'm sorry. While Kemba Walker's knee might be deteriorating, Al Horford's 35 years old. He was basically sat on the shelf all of this year so that young guys can play. Horford played half a season this year. He's not effective anymore. So there's a reason he's going to be on his third team in 3 years. But it also frees them up from a financial standpoint, and Stevens talked about that. They save money on the salaries, bringing Horford back and trading away Kemba Walker. And by trading that first round draft pick before the draft and before the end of the season, it happens in this league year, which means if they wanted to trade next year's pick, they actually can, because it's next league year. That means they could use that to try to draw in a different star or player to bring into the fold. That's why it happens.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.